I really did miss you, and I realized in a new and fresh way how much I love the people of this church. You know, when you come in 7 years ago, your role as pastor, hoping that you'll also become friends. Excuse me, and over the past 7 years, I realize how deeply we have become friends and family, but that I also have the role as pastor, and it was wonderful for me to just come deeply into that truth. Over the number of years, I had become too focused on the work of ministry. And when you do that, you begin to lose sight of the relationships of ministry. And so, most important, my relationship with the Father, as my Abba Father, not just as his servant, not just as the pastor who has responsibility, but as his child and being renewed in my own relationship with the Father. And I have much that I want to say to you on this subject, and over the next 4 weeks together through September and going into Thanksgiving, I want to share with you some of the depth of relationship that's become so important to me, and how so much of this has come to me out of the Gospel of John. So over the coming weeks, we're going to be studying the Gospel of John together. And in a few moments, I'm going to give you a first glimpse, a taste of some of that. But before we come to that, I know that God has also been working in your lives, and you also have had experiences of time with the Lord this summer. And so we're going to take some time to just mutually encourage one another with sharing. And so this week in the ACE, I put two questions in the ACE. Number one, what has God been shaping in you over the summer? And sometimes shaping happens with hard things. Not all good things are easy things. So what's the Lord been shaping in you? Or a second question, where have I seen God at work with fresh eyes to see, fresh ears to hear? What he has been doing. And I also understand that you've been invited over the summer to take on the challenge of writing your own psalms, as the focus has been on the psalms. And so there may be one of you who are willing to share something from the psalms. And so let's take some time to share, and then I'll do my sharing at the end of it. My guess is that there are many who want to share, and so I'm just going to ask you to be brief, be concise in what you have to share, so that we can have many people sharing this morning. And so to start us off, Danny, I'm going to pick on you because I know you've got, come on up here. I told him that he could just get up and share during the sharing time, but this is a little bit different. So Danny, tell us what you're up to.
So next Saturday, I'm going to Kapenray in Germany. This is my last Sunday before that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'll be taking a Bible school. So I'll be taking a more deep look at the Bible. So I'm really hoping it's going to be spiritually fruitful for me. And if you guys could pray for that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. So he was on a missions trip, if you'll recall, this spring. And we prayed for him, and he came back and shared how impactful that was. And so, again, man, the young people, the young men and women that Lord's raising up in the church here, we want to pray for them. So if you would just bow with me and let's pray for Danny. Father, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in Danny's life. Thank you for the way you're calling him and encouraging him and challenging him. Thank you for the way he's saying yes to the challenges and the invitations that you're giving him, both to be on a short-term team with the school, and now to be a part of this fellowship of believers studying your word together. So bless him this weekend as he travels, the preparations that are before him. Bless his family as they miss him. And Father, may we as family remember him and lift him up. And so, Holy Spirit, would you nudge us during this week and over the fall, that we would be able to support him in this way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, man. All right. Others, what's going on? What has the Lord been doing in your life this week, or the past few months of summer? Come on, I got the first one out of the way for you, Janet.
Hey, At the beginning of summer, when Daryl started the psalm series, he said, write a psalm.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's not something I can do. I won't worry about that one. But then I thought about it a little bit, and this is what I came up with. So I would encourage you to close your eyes and take a walk with me. Oh, Lord, as I walk down the path and drink in your magnificence of your creation, my heart sings. The sun shines warm on my face, and I'm reminded of the warmth of your unfailing love. My heart sings in gratitude. I look up and marvel at the myriad of greens that you created. You could have made just one green and pronounced it good, but one green wasn't good enough for you. It reminds me of your over-the-top goodness to us, so my heart sings. The new leaves in the springtime remind me of the new life you have given to me because of Jesus. My heart sings for joy. I look at the water beside the path and am reminded of the living water that flows through me. My heart sings as you satisfy my thirst for you. I look up through the trees and see the bright blue sky and am reminded that you have prepared a place for me, a place where some of my loved ones already reside. The thought of living with you throughout eternity makes my heart sing. In the bright blue sky, there are some clouds, and I'm reminded that life isn't always easy. But you have promised to walk through the rough patches with me, to give me strength and hope. My heart sings through my tears. I listen to the birds sing and the squirrels chatter, and am reminded that all creation joins my heart to sing your praise. The brilliant hues of leaves in the fall remind me that death is the door to life with you forever. I trust you in the unknown. My heart sings that you know all things. O Lord, as I walk down the path of life with you by my side, I will trust you to be steadfast in love, abounding in mercy and generous with joy. O Lord, you make my heart sing.
Amen. Jenna, thank you so much.
Microphone is right here already. I also wanted to take Daryl's challenge to write a psalm. And so when I was thinking about what to write, looking out my windows, and it inspired me. What I was seeing outside of my windows inspired this. I praise you, O God. I see the mountains and the valley, the river and the lake, the forest and flowers, the beauty of your creation. My soul is filled. Lord, in you I put my hope. In you I trust. Lord, I look to you. You look at me in love. I praise you and glorify you, O my God.
Thank you so much, Bev. Wonderful expressions, and you obviously get a sense of the depth of relationships that are behind them. Sorry, am I missing something? Yeah.
God has blessed me in a way that I can't thank anybody in my life enough for my parents supporting me and driving me to the school board office, because I've been given an opportunity two times now to represent my entire school and all of the school district and their Indigenous children in education in their meetings, and talking about how we can add more culture to everybody's daily lives, and not just Indigenous culture, but also cultures from other places. And I've recently learned that this is an opportunity that might take me down the path to valedictorianship, which is a very big dream that I've always had.
So remind us of your name, because a lot of people don't know you. And Yvette is a student here at Asia. You're in grade 11, so you've got 2 years to go. And it was wonderful to see you helping lead in worship today. Welcome, Yvette. Thank you so much. Keith.
Well, good morning, everyone. I thought not just the ladies wrote psalms, but I wrote one as well.
Good.
Daryl put out the challenge, and I thought, I need some tool to help me organize this. So I thought, why not use an acrostic? In case you worry, this is not going to be 26 stanzas of 8 verses each, like in Psalm 119. So just a...
Okay, so we said we...
All right, so here it is. Atomic weapons do not deter him because he is omnipotent. Creator of the heavens and the earth, do you, my enemy, dare to test him? Everything is in his power. Fearless I am in him. Great is El Shaddai. Heaven is his throne. In his presence are blessings forever. Jehovah is his name. Keeper of our souls. Love incarnate. Many are my trials, but always he is with me. Never will I forget his many blessings. Opposition never ceases, but neither does his strength. Powerful is he beyond understanding. Quicken my faith, O Lord, in my anguish. Release me from my enemies, lover of my soul. Snares abound for me. Undeterred, I stand in Christ, victorious in him. Waver not my soul in all my troubles. Cross out all doubts in this time of my life. Yes, my God is for me. Zeal for the Lord consumes my soul. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. Tremendous. Someone else that wants to share? I'm going to work my way back towards the front. Renita.
Well, I didn't write my own psalm, but I revised one that felt easier for me. So it seemed a bit cliche, I thought, but I did Psalm 23. So themes of rest and God's provision have been on my heart this summer, so it seemed to fit. Jesus is looking after me and leading me. He's given me everything I truly need. He invites me into places of rest, places where I can lay down my burdens and have him speak life, joy, freedom, and healing to my heart. He leads me along the path of doing right that I might bring honor and glory to his name. Even when life is challenging and I am overwhelmed and afraid, even there, Jesus is with me. His word and his voice and his presence are a comfort to me. I can rest assured of your deliverance. You've won. You came down to rescue me. Evil will not triumph. You hold me in your hand. Your goodness and love will be my companions all my life, and one day I will live in peace with you forever.
Thank you, Renita. Jeremy.
I also took Daryl's challenge. The trails of the Lord are reliable, leading to a restful camp. The delivery of the Lord is on time, arriving as it is needed. The engine of the Lord is powerful, driving goodness. The anchor of the Lord is firm, holding fast in the wind. The coffee of the Lord is strong, energizing the mind. The map of the Lord is accurate, providing direction to the lost. The pizza of the Lord is fresh, satisfying the hungry. The headlamp of the Lord is bright, illuminating the way. The door of the Lord is secure, protecting the valuable. The fence of the Lord is safe, setting boundaries for the wise. The gift of the Lord is generous, exceeding expectations. The paint of the Lord is vibrant, pleasing the eyes. The flag of the Lord is distinct, emboldening the valiant. The life jacket of the Lord is buoyant, saving those drowning in rough water.
Wow, thanks, Jeremy. Isn't it great how each of these is like a reflection of a person's personality? Like, this isn't just rote stuff. This is heart expressions. That's so awesome. Thank you so much. Anyone else? All right. Last chance. And they've all been psalms, haven't they? We thought maybe we'd get a couple of psalms and some stories, but that's fantastic how many people have taken that challenge to just, oh, sorry, Gracie. Are you going to do a psalm too?
No.
Okay, good. Stand up, sweetie.
So this summer, I had the opportunity to work at summer camp, and it was an incredible opportunity, and it was really difficult because I had this perfect idea of what like camp would be like, and as a cabin leader, like what it would go through the week. But my first cabin was like really challenging, and so it really tested my faith, and it helped me reflect on the fact that I need to let God lead my life and not me try and make a plan and follow that plan.
Wow. So Gracie figuring that out at her age. Brilliant, Gracie. Way to go. And way to go with just, you know, stepping into the challenge of being a cabin leader. That's phenomenal. Anyone else? Ah, yes, Renee.
Okay. Just so you know, God can use the awkward stuff too. I didn't really want to share, but there's a gal at work that had a really, really hard thing happen to her. And I stuck my foot in my mouth by saying, "Welcome back, were you on holidays?" And she had been off for a loss in her family, and it was not for a good reason. I mean, it's never for a good reason, but someone she knew chose to take his life. Sorry. So I ended up in this conversation with her, and we ignored work for a while. And it was good and awful at the same time, but we both ended up crying. And she said, "I'm so sorry I made you cry." And I'm like, honey, that's the least of it.
Yeah.
If I can share a tiny bit with you, I have no clue what you're going through. So I realized that even though we can say stupid things in the moment, God can use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God opens doors in unexpected ways. Yes, Angela, way in the back, and then I'll come back. Glenna, I saw your hand as well.
I was reminded there was a teacher from my school last year. She's younger than me. It was her first year as a full-time teacher. And partway through the year last year, she was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a very aggressive cancer. It was very scary, the situation. Her prognosis was really not good, and I remember in my mind just like starting to resign myself for the hard outcome, thinking I need to like prepare for this and thinking about helping students prepare for that, and just being ready for this, you know, end of the road that we all expected. And actually just yesterday, we found out that she had just had a really, she'd been on this journey for a while now, that was like February maybe, and had a surgery to remove some of the cancer, and there was supposed to be lots of potential hard outcomes from that, and none of those things were actually outcomes from the surgery, and the cancer they did take out was actually already like dead or inactive. So at this point there is no cancer in her body.
Wow.
Which I remember thinking like what I thought when I first heard the news, and how we kept praying, and we've been praying for her as a staff and a community, but I don't know if really, especially at the beginning, I prayed with any expectation personally. And so that was just a huge reminder to me that just to never count God out of anything, never to put him aside and say, you know, it can't be done or he can't work through something, because he can do lots more than we expect. So, and that's a huge praise for me.
Amen. Thanks, Angela. Glenna.
On? Yep. Okay. Thanks, Renee, for making it okay to be choked up. walking through one of the most difficult times of my life, and I did take Daryl's challenge and write a lament, but it's not something I can read out loud at this point. But it was a good exercise, and I just wanted to share that God is really walking with me and speaking to me in amazing ways, directions, really specific things, and so that's been a very upside of a hard journey.
Great. Thanks, Glenna. We love you. Yep. Keep praying. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, Betty.
Just wanted to say one of the benefits maybe of being in a smaller community like this is the support that you get from your friends and other people in your life. And so just an encouragement to you whenever you get a prompt from God to reach out to someone just to follow up on that, because for me it's been really incredible to have friends surround me this summer with a few things that I'm going through. Sorry. And it's just been amazing. A verse that is one that we use often, but really spoke to me when we had a time of sharing with some friends was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So the two words that really stood out for me and those was for to trust and to walk in God's path.
Great. Thank you so much, Betty.
I had a bad thing happen this summer for me. I had owned a little bunny named Mr. Pickles, and I lost him. He died. So it's been very, very hard for me. He's my family, my baby. And I hope that God takes little bunnies home with them. He's such a good little boy. He deserves something special. He was cremated. Daryl was with me to support me. And I'm still having a terrible time. And we took him to the mortuary. I didn't even want to let him go. I wanted to keep holding him, not let him go. Daryl asked me, am I ready? So I passed him over and we left. So Daryl and his wife went away for a while. He came back and then he went down and picked up the urn. It's a little tiny, but that big. He brought it to me, and now it's sitting on my fireplace in my picture with him, holding him. But I know sometimes you forget God's with you. You don't think of that at the time. All you think about is your pet who died, and it's all really focused. But I do love Jesus so much that I come here and learned a lot.
That's awesome.
And I'm so grateful that they brought Starping here, Sean and Ron. And I started seeing through the light. I seen the light. God's light that was leading me to him. And I love to learn more about Jesus. And I love the people here in the church and getting to know a lot of people. Wonderful, wonderful people. Husband, wife, children. I love them all. But I do thank Jesus, who loved me. I'm learning that more all the time, because one time I didn't even know anything about him. But I'm learning since I come here more and more.
That's great.
Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful time for coming here. And I love you so much. Thank you.
Amen. You know, Anne-Marie just kicked us off onto the theme that I want to talk about this morning, and that is just Jesus' love for us. And I'll ask if there's anyone else, one last chance, and if not, I'll kind of dive into, Anne-Marie just kind of set it up for me, so I'm going to take that as a chance to share a little bit about what God has been doing in my life over the past number of... As part of my sabbatical, before I even got started, I met with a spiritual director. And we met, our plan was to meet basically every 2 weeks over the course of the summer. which we did, and he gave me books to read, he gave me spiritual disciplines to practice, and he gave me journaling exercises where I would be writing things down. And I want to start by sharing with you two of the books that he suggested to me that have been just absolutely central to my time away. The first one is called Abba's Child by Brennan Manning. You may recognize that name, Brennan Manning. He wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel. That's the book that most people know of Manning's. But this is different than that. This is Manning's personal story of his failure in ministry because of a false sense of identity that he bought into because of his success in ministry. He was a writer and a conference speaker, well-respected and sought after, and the pressure to maintain that image of success became his downfall. And on the surface of his life, everything looked good, and yet he felt so empty, and he addressed that emptiness with alcohol, and he tells the story very openly. And the crisis of that identity led to a severe crash. And in the midst of that crash, he discovered that his true identity is as Abba's child, hence the name of the book. And so Manning explores in this book the dangers of living your life out of a false sense of identity. It's something that he calls the imposter. And as he tells his story, he creates space for us to recognize the imposter that lives inside of us. It's the people pleaser. It's the high achiever. It's the behaviors and attitudes that expose in us a definition of success that's rooted in the approval of other people. And what Jesus means when he said we need to take up our cross and die to this imposter, die to this self, and to be one in Christ. And so that was a very important book for me. A second book that I want to recommend is called Let Go. The author is Francis Fenelon. This book is actually quite old. Fenelon was a spiritual director himself. And this book is a collection of letters that he wrote to people that he was mentoring in their own spiritual formation. And the theme of this book complements Manning's book, Let Go of the Imposter. Let go of the false self. Let go of the flesh. Let it die. For my true identity is hidden with Christ, as Manning expressed. And so this is a collection of about 40 very brief letters, so it's a very short book. Some of them are only like a paragraph or two long. And so it was very easy for me over the course of basically 90 days of sabbatical and 40 letters to read through this book twice, and every day to meditate on one of these letters. Because I was processing my own identity as a pastor who has a desire to be successful in ministry. And how do we define success? To protect my reputation, to think about my legacy as I turn 65 and start thinking about what am I leaving behind, what are the things that make up my identity? And so to let go. Die to this self that's concerned with legacy and to come back to the place of simply being Abba's child. Manning also spoke about the Gospel of John, which is why I want to spend some time in the Gospel of John. And he talked about the identity of the Apostle John who wrote the Gospel. And I want you to think with me for a moment. When you think about the disciples, the 12 apostles of Jesus, some of them have a word or a phrase that we immediately associate with them. And so I'm going to ask you to tell me what name or word, what word or phrase do we think of? For example, when we think of the disciple Thomas, what comes to mind? What's the word? Doubting Thomas. Yeah, you imagine being the guy that's your nickname as a follower of Jesus, Doubting Thomas. He got stuck with that. What about Judas? What was his name? What's his word? Betrayal. Yeah. It's interesting how easily we become named by something. What about Peter? Peter actually has a few. There's a number of different words or phrases that I thought of, but what comes to mind when I mention the Apostle Peter, the disciple Peter? The rock, yeah. What else? Impulsive, yeah. He was very impulsive. Oh, there's Jesus walking on the water. I should be able to do that. He was very quick to take action. Other things about Peter? Anything else? Yeah, the denial. He's the one that denied Christ. Now, the truth is, all the disciples walked away from Jesus. They all abandoned him that night, but he's the one that gets named because of his verbal denial. Okay, so now comes the hard one. What about John? What was he named for? Sorry? A lover? Yeah. So his name, his nickname was the disciple Jesus loved. Okay, so now here's the bonus question. Who gave him that name? He did. Think about that. John is called the disciple that Jesus loved, and he's the one that gave himself that name. Five times in the Gospel of John, he describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, my first reaction to that when I started thinking about that is, that's a pretty bold thing to do, right? To call yourself the disciple that Jesus loved, implying that he's the only one that Jesus loved, or that perhaps Jesus loves him more than the other disciples. What does that title, that self-ascribed title, what does that say about the other disciples? Now, here's where you have to think with me. If you read this title as the words of a man whose identity is what we're talking about, that his identity is formed by comparing himself to other people, needing the validation of people around him, like Brennan Manning did, like I struggle with, if that's his identity, needing validation from other people, and then you claim this title as saying, I'm the one Jesus loved, you've created a comparison. And in that context, it's a terrible thing to do. If this is a comparison, it is entirely inappropriate for John to speak of himself that way. But if you have died to the flesh, if, as Fenelon suggests, you let go of the imposter, that your identity can be formed in Christ alone. Jesus loves me, and that's the only thing you need to know about me. I am the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, John is not the only disciple that Jesus loved, but I think he was the first to grasp how the identity-shaking implications are of being loved by Jesus. For us to say that Jesus loves us is a fact. It's true. But John came to understand deeply the love of Jesus, and it shaped his identity. And when you begin to understand how formative the love of God was for John, the love of Jesus was for John, you begin to read his gospel differently. You will see his Abba's child identity coming through in his writings in the Gospel of John. And that's what I want to do with you over the next number of weeks, to look at a number of passages out of John's gospel and to see how strongly he advocates for our identity as Abba's children, and how desperately he wants us to know the love of God that has captured him in his life. You're probably all familiar with the children's song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." It's true. The Bible tells us a lot about Jesus' love. But being familiar with the teachings of God's love, of Jesus' love, is very different from being captured by God's love. And this has been my journey this summer, to move in fresh ways from knowing about the love of God to actually knowing the love of God and being captured in a new way by His love. And this is my hope, that in spending some time reflecting on the subtleties of the way John wrote about Jesus, that we too might begin to appreciate the shaping influence of God's love for us, that we would grow in God's love for us, especially appreciating the depth of His love for us. Because the same writer of the Gospel of John is the same John who wrote in 1 John, "We only love because He first loved us." We only grow to love Him as we come to appreciate God's love for us, that we would become the disciples that Jesus loved. I want us to take this thought over the next number of weeks and dive into the identity as being disciples that Jesus loved. And this morning, I want to take just a few moments to have us approach the communion table out of this same sense of God's love. So as we come to the table this morning, we are instructed by Scripture to remember what this means. And you know all about this. I don't need to tell you that the bread represents the broken body of Christ, that Christ's body was broken, that He suffered, and that's why it is broken bread. And that the cup represents the shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Blood in the Scripture represents life. It is a lifeblood. And so when the blood is shed, a life is taken. This is the basis of our relationship with God. It's the sacrifice of Christ's body on the cross, His shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. We know all about this. But why did God do this? Why did Jesus go to such extreme lengths to have relationship with us? Again, notice it is John who gives us a succinct answer. That God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The table can be about something that we do. It can be about the bread and the cup, or it can be about someone who loves us. Think about what Jesus said at the table with His disciples. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's not the same as saying, "Remember to do this." What He's saying is, "Don't forget me." Jesus wants to be remembered by you because He loves you. He longs for you. He longs to have relationship with you, that He would even suffer and have His body broken for you. He wants you to remember Him. Think of the irony that a God would not just come and give His life, but that He would stoop so low as to say, "I long for you to love me." Could we, as a church, enter this fall season together, remembering the love of God. It may be that, like me, you had lost touch with your first love. And it's really not hard to do, is it? We become about so many things, so much work that needs to be done. And our identity tends to become caught up in the things that we do in the church, for others, as a parent, as a leader, and we lose our identity as Abba's child. And today we want to remember Jesus. We want to do what he asked us to do, to remember not just the bread, not just the cup, but to remember him. And that we would begin to say with John, I am the daughter that Jesus loves. I am the son that Jesus loves. And with Brennan Manning, I am Abba's child. The table is the expression of God's love for you. Come as the worship team plays and receive his love and honor that love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's step deeply into the love that Jesus has for us and let it stir our love for him as well. And so come to the table when you're ready. You can just make your way along the sides to the table, receive the bread, receive the cup, and then when you're done, just come back and sit in silence, and then we'll close in a few minutes after that. When you're ready, the table is ready. Come and eat. Come and drink. Amen. We are God's kingdom people. Jesus loves you. You are the disciple that Jesus loves. We are the community that Jesus loves, not in comparison to any other community, but simply because our identity is in Christ who loves us.